True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host from Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington, the sponsor of the show. Again, True Wealth is the show. Coins Plus is the sponsor. True Wealth has been on the air a little over a decade-ish, I suppose. 10, 12 years, I would be my guess. Coins Plus, been in business since about 95, 96. Crazy. Crazy when I say that. I'm like, those were good times. You know, I've had some good times in life, folks. Some good times. I've had just some beautiful times, thanks to the Lord. Praise be to God, right? I mean, praise be to the Lord. We've had some wonderful, wonderful times in life. Thank you, God. We've had our ups, our downs. God's put us through a lot. I've learned a lot. Again, you know, wisdom. I've had success with the business at times. Crazy success. And you know, and just the everyday whatever's going on type lifestyle. Real interesting stuff to think about. When you think about one thing about me is I've always had this kind of this exotic taste. I've always liked nice things. And when I started, I'll be honest. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that when the gold boom hit, we were blessed big time. And I did some dumb stuff with money. I'm going to be honest with you. I bought a lot of toys. I put a ton of it into a particular piece of waterfront real estate that out on the Spokane River. It was an amazing piece of property. And eventually the neighbor, we moved here a while ago, the neighbor built this obnoxious, unbelievable boathouse. I mean, you wouldn't even believe it. It ruined our view. It was so destructive and unbelievable. Everybody who's anybody's like, how did that ever get approved? And the answer is, I have no clue, but it did. And so we actually had to move. It's that bad. And so we actually lost money on that. I have not, I'll be honest with you, I have built a lot of real estate. I've owned a lot of real estate. I've developed some real estate. I've been around real estate quite a bit. I spent years as a regional sales manager for Bank of America Housing Services, which is the mortgage division, and I've done a ton of non-conforming, and on we go. Real estate is not what you think. Folks, I'll tell you I got to watch my mouth, excuse me, but and I guess I'll say it anyway, the dumbest concept there is, in my opinion, okay? I'm just going to be candid with you. The dumbest concept is this, I'm going to buy a rental, and I'm going to finance it, I'm going to rent it out, and then I'm going to, after all my expenses and all this stuff, then I'm going to make a profit, you know? And I'm going to let the renter pay the mortgage down. And, you know, I mean, folks, I can get more in depth into that. That is just pure foolishness. It is pure foolishness, okay? That is not smart. It is everything unbiblical you can imagine. I, as most of you are aware, have spent a tremendous amount of time in the money world, banking, finance, economics, you name it, right? So I have just a little bit of exposure to that world, and I have seen this over and over and and over and then once again over. And people run into so many problems. I mean, I have a friend that I talked to the other day, and luckily he's in another state, so I can bring it up on the show. And he goes out and gets this house, and he has to do a little bit of work to it. There goes some money. And then he gets some kind of, you know, I don't know, 5% down loan or whatever it is, okay? So he gets a little bit of rate bump. There goes a little bit of money, okay? Then he gets, of course, because he doesn't have 20% down, he has PMI insurance. PMI insurance, okay? So let me explain what that is. Private mortgage insurance. When back in the day, when I was a young buckaroo, and I was in the mortgage lending business, and they decided to start loaning to the more aggressive populations, you know, those people that don't have 20% down, what we call non-conforming. That's non-conventional. Non-conforming usually means your credit stinks, which is also an important factor in life. Credit is important, and it's also important, okay? So you've got non-conventional, non-conforming. So the difference is when you're going non-conventional, and then you got non-conforming, and the difference is non-conventional means that it's not 20% down, okay? That forever was the way it was, and if you think about it, it went from the Federal Reserve, okay, which was, I always do this. I'm always like, let's back up. Let's back up. So I'll be like the truck, you know, that goes dee, dee, dee. I can't. I do the high-pitched voice, but beep. But see, my voice won't do it because I've got this stupid deep voice. So anyway, non-conventional. It used to be 20% down or no home. Okay, but here's what's really interesting that you probably haven't thought about. What was it like before the Federal Reserve Act? How about people paid for their houses with cash? What? Wait a minute. In general, I mean, I would say 95% of people did not have mortgages. They would save up their money. The cost of a home was a fraction of what it is now related to your yearly salary. Of course, the argument now is simple. The argument now is, well, the houses now are so much nicer and they have so many more amenities and, you know, and bloody blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, I'll give you a little bit of that, but also drive through the South Hill. Go up Manitou, drive around there. Are those houses junk? I mean, I'm talking drive through the whole South Hill, you know, spend the day. And when you get done, are they junk? No. You know, when you get around the turn of the century stuff, no. If you drive through Shadle Park, the house quality goes down. I'm not saying just Shadle Park, but that general area up there, the house quality goes down. Because a lot of those houses were built in the 60s and 50s and 70s after the Federal Reserve Act had consumed tremendous amounts of our money, okay? And then we got to the old Nixon era where, you know, he officially removed us wholly from the Federal Reserve or from the gold standard, okay? So we were on a gold standard, which you're probably all aware of. And then we first we effectually abandon it. And the way we did that was through pure corruption, lies, and deception. And what we did is we created Federal Reserve banknotes. Folks, the Fed is a private corporation that likes money a lot. The Federal Reserve Bank is the largest privately held corporation profit-wise in the world, okay? They make over $100 billion a year profit, okay? This is just so you can have money. Really? I mean, is that right? No. Because I discussed here recently on the show, I touched on what a mess it is to make a U.S. dollar in the treasury bonds and the treasury bills and this and that. And, you know, I just kind of let it float and go, you know, that direction. And I did not really, you know, it gets messy. And so, but before it was the average sales home price around 1900 was $700 and whatever, maybe 737, since that's the name of the plane that's crashing. I don't know. But now the average home sales price is almost $300,000. That's new or used, okay? Back then it was around $700. And then when you went to Long Beach in the higher end areas, you could get up to $1,000, $1,100. One of the peak areas in the United States at the time was $1,300. And that was like Long Island, which is by New York, Manhattan. It's on the water. You get the picture. It's unbelievable. There's a mansion in Vancouver or Victoria, B.C., that was built originally on like 1,000 acres, and it's a humongous built concrete stone. Feet concrete stone construction is what I'm trying to say, but facility, whatever. There's a word in there. I do that a lot, and you guys probably think, geez, he's blanking out a lot. No, really, the problem is I have kind of a high vocabulary, and I there's perfect words for perfect moments, and I hate it when I can't find that perfect word, you know what I mean? So anyway, in the mid-1800s, this guy was a big logging baron, you know, and he moved to Canada, and he started logging, and he started making some buckaroos, and he wanted his wife to move there, and she wouldn't do it. She didn't like it, okay? You can kind of understand. I mean, if you're from Europe, and you've got culture, and your husband says, hey, I'm living in the middle of nowhere. Now, of course, now Victoria is, you know, it's developed and it's not, there aren't the most, you know, back then there wasn't the most incredible breakfast restaurants on earth there. Breakfast, what we call breakfast food, is the main most popular food in Victoria, B.C., my wife and I found out because we love it. And we were asking at about 2 in the afternoon if there's any good places to get breakfast food. And the guy just grabs a map and he starts circle, 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 circle. I mean, he goes crazy. I go, whoa, 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 whoa. He goes, I said, I'm looking for breakfast food, not just a restaurant. And he goes, no, these are. He goes, breakfast is our favorite meal of the day. He goes, you didn't know that about Canadians, however they say it. I'm like, no. He goes, yeah. He said, we love breakfast food. So we, my wife and I, for a couple days had, wow, just really good breakfast food, which is my thing. So long story short, obviously, those restaurants didn't exist when this guy was there. So when this guy was there, he tried to get his wife to come over. She's like, you're crazy. He says, I will build you the most palatial estate, because he had that whole area, that whole island of Victoria in British Columbia to himself for logging. There's money in logging, folks. I mean, you deal with hard assets, natural resources. You know, we talk all the time about what are the biblically attributed assets that are true wealth. And what do we say? And remember, I always have to say this. Oh, please hear this. Please. Because it's so important to understand. It's gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. And I had a guy in here the other day talking about reading a book by, Robert Kiyosaki, I think it is, or something like, is that his name? The Amway guy? People don't understand that he's an Amway guy who made all of his money in Amway. But he took the philosophy of, remember, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, human life, human life, human life. Why? Because we create wealth. Human life, gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and then, of course, precious stones. Precious stones are weird. We've gone through, my gosh, so many of them. We had, you know, like I had like 20 years stored up, and they're so hard to sell when you in bulk. I mean, I kept my emeralds, my rubies, my blue, dark blue sapphires. I kept the investment grade stuff for my investors, and then I had so many other things, and then one of my employees that I thought knew more about gemstones didn't, but that's not an insult, because if you knew how many there were, you wouldn't even believe it. You pick a color and go do research. You'll be blown away. Of course, Google's kind of full of malarkey. You'll still see a billion different ones, but we've got these charts, and you know, and then you can get into refraction and all this stuff. It just goes crazy. But anyway, this Robert Kiyosaki says, he wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, okay? The difference is simple, folks. And this is a principle that you must live by. Rich Dad, Poor Dad works like this. Rich Dad, okay, here's the way to look at it. There's two men. They were born in the same town. They're both family. This is a true story, by the way. There's two men. Both were born in the same town. They went to the same high school. They played the same sports. They went to the same classes together, and they were best friends. Both their dads worked at the factory. Okay? They were identical in every way. When they got out of college, high school, not college, they didn't go to college. When they got out, one of them had two different life philosophies. One of them wanted what he wanted when he wanted it. Okay? So he went and he financed our RVs, boats, cars, whatever, you name it. Just payment, right? It's just a payment, you know? And I remember when I was in banking and I'd be like, well, you know, you have a really good job, and you got to remember, folks, before God woke me up to what I do, before he gave me the wisdom and the conscience for what I do now versus then, I would sit in front of people and I would compliment them, and I'd say, you know, between the two of you, you sure make a wonderful living, and you can afford this payment. It's only bumps your car payment $250 a month and blah, 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 even though you're never going to ever own anything. You're just going to be payment, payment, payment. That's how so many of these of us live, and it's a terrible way to live. Of course, I get the people in here that are dirt poor, that listen to the show, love the show, agree with it wholeheartedly, but they don't have any money, so they don't understand. But the Rich Dad, Poor Dad went like this. Two guys. They grow up the same. They play the same sports. They take the same classes. Even move next door to each other into the exact same houses that were built at the same era with the same floor plan. Everything is identical between these two men. There's only one difference. One of them used debt like crazy. The other saved, okay? And first of all, a lesson that I've learned in life is, number one, if you want something real bad, if you can't walk away and pray, your heart's in the wrong place. You say, oh no, Kevin, you don't understand. I'll lose this opportunity. It will go away. I will not get another chance. You know, realtors thrive on that pressure. Oh, there's someone else looking at the house. My wife fell for that when we bought our last, not this house, but the one before. And I said, honey, this is what they do all the time. No, I think it's real. Well, it's a realtor's trick because people, why? I don't know. Because it creates urgency and competitiveness. And so rich dad, poor dad, the one dad saves and saves and saves and saves. And then he saves and saves and saves. And he buys gold and silver and rare coins. Yes, he does. And he also buys stocks and bonds and whatever else, which, you know, forever were not very good performers. Lately, they've been better, but they don't perform near the growth rate of the Dow. The Dow, a lot of it is just a big recovery period. It's overinflated. It's extremely hyperinflated. I tell you with every stitch of sincerity in my body, if you're loaded in stocks, get out. If you're with the government, I love this one. Oh, they have me in the most conservative investment vehicle they offer. And they'll have six choices. And then I've got literally, like, honestly, like a minimum of five super close friends that work way up in the government. Way up. And this super conservative investment fund isn't doing so swell. What? I thought Trump was driving the economy through the roof. Well, stocks and bonds are a totally different cat. I've discussed the indexes, the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ. They remove and replace stocks regularly. They use a 200-day weighted moving average. Whenever I say that, what I think of is a 200-foot log floating on the ocean. And as the waves are going up and down and up and down, that 200-foot-long log just barely moves. It moves at different, a slow pace. That right there, my friends, is how the indexes work. So you can never recuperate or earn the level of income as the uber-duber rich. The money is made by the big boys on the top of the top floor of the building in Wall Street. You buy and hold stock in a company, and it sits there. And yeah, there's a few that have done okay over time. You get like Apple stock. It did good, and then it crashes, and then, you know, oh, what is Microsoft, Google, all of them, right? They all take their dumps. Uber, you name it. They all just kapooey, right? In the meantime, precious metals-based assets stay solid. They may not race up. They may not, you know, they definitely don't collapse or lose, you know, value. They just maintain true wealth. So it is critically important that you have true wealth, that you have real stuff, the good stuff. Well, Robert Kiyosaki's book is a lot about this. Robert Kiyosaki talks about using the creativity and wealth-generating capabilities of other individuals. Call them employees, teammates, whatever you want. But the more of you get together, the better off you're going to do. And so you want a group of people this is what he's all about. Where, why did I go to that? Because he was, he says things that are foolishness. He's got, I mean, first of all, he made all of his money in Amway. Okay. It's a multi-level marketing scheme. Sorry, but that's kind of what it is. It's get everybody signed up. Everybody pours money in, and the people at the top make more and more and more. The real top dogs make all their money speaking and putting on these huge seminars. They make $2 or $3 million a year on top of whatever they got coming in from their downline, so on and so forth. I personally don't recommend multi-level marketing because it's designed to suck you financially dry to make the people at the top filthy rich. That's what it's designed to do. You go to Amway meetings. I've been to them. I got sucked in when I was young and had friends. This one who, you know, he's world famous now. I won't tell you what he does, but he's very, very well known. Anyway, him and his wife and another couple were best friends when we were young, and they got into Amway. Well, he first calls me up and says, "Hey, Kevin, there's a man coming into town from San Francisco, and we've got a business opportunity we really think would fit you well." And, you know, and flattery, flattery, flattery. And I, guess what? Old Kevy. Young college student. I fall for it. I'm like, yeah, you bet I'm smart. You bet I could do good at business. And I always had the desire to make a buck. I just always did. I didn't worship it. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's not what I'm talking about. I just always wanted to enjoy the fruits of my labor. And I always wanted my labor to produce a lot of fruit, et cetera, et cetera, and so on. So I show up at this meeting, and bam, here we are. They're drawing little bubbles. They got their little presentation all together and up on the board. And there's this outfit called Worldwide Dream Builders, locally owned by the Perriers. Frankly, for years in the 90s, till they changed some laws, they were brilliant. They'd run ads and say, make up to $300,000 a year, you know, and then you'd call and they'd say, well, on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday nights, we meet at, and they rented a couple strip malls, a couple of office spaces in strip malls, and then they decked them out, you know. They'd have this beautiful receptionist desk with black, you know, on it, or metallic granite and beautiful lighting and wonderful carpet and paint and warm lights on the walls, and just really made you feel rich. And big, cushy, you know, folding chairs, but not your typical folding chairs, you know, the whole thing just gave you the feel. And then a guy would get up front and he'd talk to you about all the money he made, and he'd show you photos or actual copies of his quote unquote paycheck, which was money made out to him. Well, the part that he leaves out is all that money was for orders, and he only got 3 or 4% of that. They always forget to leave that minor fact out. Well, you know, so they did that 3 times a week. They built this humongous downline. And eventually, you know, the Perriers became incredibly wealthy. They built that insane mansion on the Spokane River that they're in over $30 million. I know from personal everything, because I know the families, I know the people, I know everybody involved. I also know the contractor, and I know how he charges and how he operates and what he does, and et cetera, et cetera. So he's a little bit of a gouger. But anyhow, Robert Kiyosaki says, he tells somebody, you know, we've got rare coins and we've got investment vehicles and all this stuff. And he tells people, oh, to me, it's all gold or it's all silver. Don't even worry about you know, rare coins or numismatic or semi-numismatic or balanced portfolios. And I'm like, foolish, 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 foolish. First of all, there's sectors. I said to the guy, I said, that is absolutely ridiculous. And he said, well, how's that ridiculous? It's, you know, he goes, with gold and silver, you can always get your money out of it. If you have these fancy coins, how are you going to get your money out of it? I said, let me ask you this. I said, you listen to the radio show? Yes. I said, have you heard me say the biblically attributed biblically attributed items that are attributed as true wealth are gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones? Correct. He goes, correct. I said, okay, let's go to real estate. Let's just say you're telling me right here, standing here, that a piece of real estate, 10 acres, in the middle of the Sahara Desert or the middle of the Death Valley is worth the same as 10 acres on beachfront in Miami or Boca Raton or anywhere in the world, for that matter, being beachfront. He said, no, I guess you're right. He said, that makes a lot of sense. I said, you bet it does. And I said, it's the same with people. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life. Livestock. Is all livestock the same? Does he say, oh, to me, they're all pigs. Pigs produce bacon. And, or does he say they're all cows? They produce milk and meat? No. No, you want a whole balance of the things, right? That's just the way it is. So, you know, we got past that. It is important, folks, important to be balanced. And that means in everything. But I look at it opposite. We are in a time right now where value is the key word. Precious metals-based assets are too inexpensive, cheap. I could use the word cheap. They say, you know, whatever you're selling, never use the word cheap and all that. Well, I just did. But the point is, it's too cheap. The precious metals are too cheap, okay? They are. There's just no way around it. You're just, it is what it is, and that's what it is. By the way, that's also what it is. They're just too inexpensive. The price is down, the value is huge. In other words, you know, the value's all over the place. I mean, the value is real, okay? It's endorsed by God starting in Genesis chapter 2. Endorsed by God. It is God's true wealth. Okay. That's what it is. And so that's the way you want to approach it, as true wealth. You want to accumulate it. You do not buy it and speculate. This whole concept of chasing down, you know, whatever, you know, buying a stock and watching it every single day. Is it up? Is it down? Is it up? Is it down? Oh no, it's up. It's down. It's up. It's down. Been there, done that, long time ago, many, many, many moons, but don't do that. That's not what it's about. You buy precious metals, you buy firm, foundational, you know, rock solid assets, and you're set for good. That's it. It's precious metals based assets. Now, rare coins, what about those? What about numismatic coins? What about certified Carson City dollars? What about that? Well, they're amazing. I'm loaded in them as a person. I have a phenomenal collection of nice certified quality coins and uncertified that have gone up and up and up and up and up. I mean, coins that were $100 that are now $1,600. And I have a nice for sale right now, 89cc, that's, I'm going to just put it into a particular portfolio that a gentleman dropped off some money. But it's a beautiful coin. It's gone up and up and up, and it'll continue to go up and up. And that's the way we want to be with our finances, right? So we've got to be wise. We've got to live a wise life. We do not want to chase a fantasy for money, which is what Solomon says. And I think it's also mentioned in Proverbs. And it's also, well, bottom line is, it's it's people sell their soul for something they're never going to get. Okay. So Robert Kiyosaki, rich, you know, pictures of himself in front of jets and all that. Sure. That'd be cool. It'd be fun. If that's where your heart is and that's where God wants you to be, and so be it. But don't worship money. Don't think money would make you happier. Everybody in surveys says 10% more is what would make them happy. Well, guess what? It doesn't. They've proven it time and again. In fact, too much money gives people, you know, then they go buy a whole bunch of toys and all the toys break and you got to take care of them and everything's a depreciating item. I was going to say asset, but everything's a depreciating. Cars are a depreciating liability. They cost a ton of money to maintain, you know, and you get the picture. You don't want it. You don't need it. You don't. It's not, you know, you get a good vehicle that's reliable and gets you around. That's what God wants you to have. This is coming from a guy who's had a lot of nice cars. I've overdone it. I've done stupid stuff. I'll be honest with you. I've put money into, and I invested one huge chunk of money in a business that I knew nothing about. Because the people involved were big shots with big names. They lost a bunch of all the money. But guess what? They were all billionaires and I was a loser there. And I shouldn't have been there. And I had connections and I got sucked in. So anyway, clear since the fall of Greece and Rome, coins have had collectible value. I'm not saying put all your money into them at all. I'm saying just get yourself in here. I don't care if you've got a savings account, 401k, an IRA. I don't care. But I can tell you, we've just surpassed the point where we're over $1 million in debt per man, woman, and child on this earth. You are facing bankruptcy, whether it is through hyperinflation, which it is, or bankruptcy, which it won't be because they have the ability to hyperinflate. You are in a bad position. You have too much debt as a U.S. citizen. You're born hitting the road, learning how to perform. Now we got kids in school, preschool at 4, and parents are like, oh, it's really good for the kids. It gives them social interaction. They learn. Yeah, that's all neat. My wife taught my kids at home, and my kids are brilliant, okay? So you don't need preschool for four-year-olds. The other problem with schools, who do they teach to? They teach to the lowest common denominator. Sure, if someone's bad enough, they'll ignore them and move on and teach to the rest. But in general, they teach to the lower, the bottom. They've proven they teach to the bottom 25th percentile of children in school. So you've got a son that's getting a 4.0 and you think he's super smart. Well, he may be, or he may not be. He may be Harvard material, he may not be. I can't tell you which one he is, but I can tell you that they don't teach to maximize your child. They teach to run a prison system is really what it's become. So here we are again. Let me see how we're doing for time. Now that's better than usual. And as usual, oh gosh, I've got all this stuff. I do this. Oh, I hate this. I hate it. I hate it. I get all these things I want to talk about, but I got things that are more important. So a couple things, read, oh gosh, there's so many different things here. Don't be a guarantor, okay? How about that? Do not be a guarantor. The Bible's crystal, crystal clear. Do not be a guarantor. What does that mean? And I'm sorry, I'm speaking with this crazy. A guarantor is a cosigner. Don't cosign. I've had people argue, fools that know nothing about money. Well, that doesn't apply to family. Let's read scripture. Proverbs 11:15. He who is a guarantor will surely suffer for it. But he who hates being a guarantor is secure. Does that say anything about family? No. How about this one? Proverbs 17:18. A man lacking in sense pledges and becomes a guarantor in the presence of a neighbor or for the sake of a neighbor. In other words, a man who lacks in sense, who's not too bright. I have seen the word stupid used in the Bible. A man who ain't too bright co-signs for somebody else. Don't do that. Why would you co-sign for somebody else? Why hang your name out there for somebody else? Then you're dependent. You're guaranteeing. The word guarantor means you're guaranteeing two things. One, you're guaranteeing the bank will get their money back, period. You're guaranteeing the person's going to make their payments on time. When they don't, you're going to get a letter in the mail. And it's going to be a dirty letter. And you're not going to like it. And after it goes far enough, you're going to be on the hook. And if they sell a car that gets all beat up, like they all do, or depreciates, typically people don't give up things with equity. They give up things that don't have equity. And then you're on the hook for what's called a deficiency balance. So say you guarantored payments on a $40,000 car loan. And the car, you know, over time it gets paid down to 36 grand. The guy goes south, he's gone. And it's been, you know, a couple years and the car's worth $24,000. And they blow it off in an auction. 36,000's owned, 24 grand from an auction. That leaves 12,000. Plus you got fees and, you know, administrative. And there's another couple grand. So 12 plus 2 is for it, $14,000. You've just had your credit utterly devastated. There's a repossession on your credit, and you owe $14,000. Why'd you do it? One reason people do it is to help their kids get going. I'm not going to completely say that's a bad idea, but I will tell you, be darn careful. And the other thing is, teach your kids to work and save money and pay cash for stuff. Otherwise, you're going to have a long life, and they are too. We got cyber criminals going on. I have a friend who had a friend who works for the government, way up in the government, folks, again, in a position you'd never guess. In fact, you're not even going to believe this. This is a true story. He works for the IRS, and guess what happened to him? He got identity theft and cyber criminals stole a fake tax refund. They filed fake tax returns under his name. Now, you say, well, you know, what if I don't have a refund coming? It doesn't matter. They file a fake tax return. They make it up, and they say that you got all this money coming back. They can lie out their teeth. It's bad. They make fake 1040s, fake 1099s, everything. It's bad. Guy that works for the IRS got scorched by this program, okay? You know, there's LifeLock and Norton and all this stuff to protect you. But, you know, the bottom line when it comes to this stuff is you got to be so smart with, you know, logging into things. Don't ever log in from an email. Don't ever log in from an email. And last, don't ever log in from an email. Did you hear me? Don't ever log into a website from an email, even if the email looks legit. You go out of the email, close the email out because some people don't get it, and you log in completely separately. I had a friend working for us for a while who did that a few times. It was confused. I've had, not just him, I've had other employees do it, and they all claim innocence. None of them ever did anything, but we know they did. You know, there's a couple things I got to cover, man. You know, with Daniel, nothing is ever too much for us, okay? Daniel, you got Daniel again, went against the grain. He was a captured Hebrew slave, right? And he was secure and confident in his beliefs. And he never gave in. And eventually, God honored him. God honors those who honor him. And so what happened to Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar loved him, man. I know a guy who's way, 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 way up in the army. He pictures me a Daniel. He's got it going on. He knows how to respond with respect and kindness and dignity. And, you know, versus other relatives I have that are just, you know, they're full of it. And they have their homemade theory of what makes a man. And men are tough and men are brutal and men are, you know, insensitive and macho, and this guy, you know, all that comes through. The bottom line is, you honor God, he honors you. That's the point of the book of Daniel. It's obviously the point of David. I mean, you got David as a little child, and all these guys are scared every day. Goliath comes out and says, "Who are you? I will crush you." And David is a little young lad. It was bringing lunch to his brothers. And here comes this Goliath, and David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine you guys are so afraid of?" And he said, "I'll take the guy on." And they put on all the armor, and it didn't fit, and it was falling off, and he was a little kid. And he said, "I don't want this. Get it off." And he goes out, and he takes his sling, and zing, 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 boom. Right between the eyes, knocks the guy out, kills him. Boom, takes care of business. And he had faith in God. God stood behind him. God protected him, etc. They basically, they duped him. He would not compromise, ever, okay? He was a Hebrew slave. He became their leader. He would not compromise his beliefs, okay? And then, so what happens? So these people that are jealous, they develop this law, they flatter Nebuchadnezzar, and they tell him, "Hey, you know, let's make a rule that every day people have to pray to you because you're so amazing. You are so incredible." And so every day they, at a certain time, they have everybody bow their heads to Nebuchadnezzar, to you know, bow down or whatever it is. And then they find out, Daniel won't do it. He worships the God of the universe, the creator God, and Nebuchadnezzar was played. He was conned. So the decree said that he had to throw David, or Daniel, into the lion's den. Daniel, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar stayed up all night, prayed, asked God to protect him. Next day, asked, "Hey, Daniel, are you there?" He says, "Yes, I am." And he got saved from those lions. So guess what? Those who fooled Nebuchadnezzar were then thrown in the same lion's den. Guess what happened to them? They didn't make it. So God can stop anything. God can do anything. So don't ever think otherwise. Period. I can go into, you know, Paul being falsely accused in prison. You know, we've got Democrats. Now, here we just jumped, but people work towards a goal, but then they'll compromise when they get to a certain point in life. They stop, okay? Democrats right now are going all in for socialism. Idealism, ideology over facts. Mainstream media is serving the deep state, but they claim to be news when it's absolute misinformation, derangement syndrome, and propaganda. You are being fed an absolute series of lies that was designed by the USSR, believe it or not, with our assistance. You're being brainwashed, you know. I won't get into their open border theory and Tom Brokaw and Ted Koppel saying we're at war with Donald Trump. Let's talk quick about money, finances, economics, God's money. Always out of time, aren't we? Okay, so we've gone through over and over the same thing, you know, about the dollar lost, you know, post-federal. We've got two major events. You know, there's more. There's Abraham Lincoln creating the first fiat currency-ish government-backed. We've got The dollar losing 99.5% of its spending power since the creation of the Federal Reserve note. We've got artificial indexes like the Dow. We've got, precious metals with really nice gains over time. We've got the Consumer Price Index, which is an exclusionary index that does not include food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs, which is what 85% of people spend, which 85% of their disposable income on. We've discussed all these things. Precious metals have never, ever, ever, precious metals-based assets have never lost their value or become worthless. Neither have rare coins. Now, some of them have gone crazy high, just stupid high. But right now, we're nowhere near that. Not even close. I mean, we are at value village right now when it comes to investing in this stuff. The dollar is losing favor worldwide. I'm traveling, soon to Central America, and I've been around the world. It's losing favor globally, and it's kind of stinky, even in Mexico. Precious metals have never lost their value or become worthless. They've always been stable. The Consumer Price Index lies to us about the rates of interest. Precious metals have always maintained their spending power for thousands of years. They are universally recognized and accepted anytime, anywhere in the world. That is fungibility. Everyone knows what it is. They all agree. It is what it is. There's no debate over what it is, period. It is what it is, what it is, what it is. So keep that in mind. It's real wealth, right? They could make the dollar worthless tomorrow. God starts in Genesis chapter 2. He goes through the Temple of Solomon. He blesses all of his patriarchs with precious metals. The very first gift his son gets, Jesus, is what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are some amazing properties of frankincense and myrrh, but gold is his first gift to his son. His first gift. Gold's all over heaven. Christ uses gold for money. Ancient Hebrew and Greek doesn't even have a word for money. They just have gold and silver as their terms because it is money. We've changed it. We've destroyed it. We've been conned. But you can protect yourself with hard assets. Trump is going crazy spending money. I'm sorry, I'll admit it. We're on a train wreck course. Protect yourself. Get in here. Let us build your portfolio. Not only that, we build cool stuff, man. I am right now digging through stuff that I have saved for eons and making people rolls. I just sold a roll of Carson City Seated Liberty quarters to somebody. I won't even tell you what that costs. Well, maybe I should. They were nice coins. I'd saved them up for myself for a long time. This customer I really liked. I really liked him. He had a lot of money. He wanted something real special in his portfolio. So I sold him a roll of Carson City quarters. There's 40 coins in a roll. The coins averaged a pretty substantial penny. They were worth about $100 a piece based on condition and date and everything. So you got 40 times 100, $4,000 for a little roll of quarters. Go to the bank, get a roll of quarters. What's the face value? $10. So $10 face value roll of quarters, $4,000 out the door. That's how it worked. So that's all important stuff to remember. Our M2 dollar supply is out of control. We're pumping money out like it's going out of style. Our deficit's nuts. I'm sorry. I'm scrambling here. The Federal Reserve System is fiat, fake, false replacement currency, which creates money from thin air. Understand that. You don't have money saved. Your stock is rubbish. Your bonds are rubbish. Are they going to be there when you die? Unlikely, to put it lightly. Social Security, what's that? Well, they tell us inflation's 1% a year. So what are you going to get, this piddly little worthless check? Don't count on Social Security for retirement. ain't going to happen. We had good old Barack Hussein Obama, who, I mean, he did damage to the economy on purpose. He used the Cloward and Piven strategy where they to impose socialism on America. Now we're in a position where that's going full throttle, and I mean full throttle. So the plan is basically on a runaway course to destroy capitalism in America by swelling our welfare rolls to the point of collapsing our economy. This is the Cloward and Piven strategy. And then implementing socialism by nationalizing private institutions. And it explains and educates leaders on how to destroy jobs and productivity, create runaway deficit spending, sound familiar, you know, fuel, skyrocketing healthcare costs and expenses, and then hang the entire system on the back of the U.S. government. This alone is designed to lead to the entire world into a, you know, full-blown Marxist socialism, which with nowhere left for a true democracy to birth or find refuge. We got the Saul Alinsky mentality in our youth. You know, fight. Just question everything. Don't try to build it up. Tear it down. The Bible says, edify, edify. Ephesians 4:29. Basically, if you don't have something that builds up, then don't say it at all. It says, let everything that comes out of your mouth build up. Last couple things. Proverbs says that every word that comes out of your mouth either creates life or death. Okay? So watch that, number one. Number two, it tells us in Ephesians to let everything we say be edifying. Now, I'm not perfect, and, you know, we all got the same thing. We'll stop there. We're out of time. Folks, give us a call. Go to Google. 5-star review. Free silver dollar. Call us. Prove it. We'll give it to you. Give us a call, 444-0044 in Spokane, area code 509. Get a portfolio built today. Take care. God bless. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.